Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on
Birds with Friends.
All I know is Zach said he has a game where he'll don't read both 7,000 and I said I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it.
And so the purpose
what I needed was not to get at least one more reader.
Hello everybody and welcome to Birds with Friends, a post-game pod following the Eagles 22-17 loss to the Cleveland Browns. They fall to 3-6-1. And finally, this coming Thursday night, we can dispense with the nonsense that they are still a first-place team because they are guaranteed to no longer be in first place after Washington plays Dallas unless those two teams tie. And so we move on and we can talk about this terrible Eagles team, another terrible Eagles performance. We are also live on YouTube for the sickos among you. But Zach Berman, Marissa Morris, Zach, how you doing? How do you think Shields doing?
I think Shields watching the Kansas City game right now, probably doing well, enjoying that. We are rehashing a game that, frankly, just continued a bad season, a bad game for a bad season. It was like the greatest hits. All the things that were going poorly this year, you saw it in the game. The turnovers, the lack of protection, couldn't convert on third down. I thought the defense did fine for the most part, but I thought you had a good tweet in terms of the response off scoring plays.
Yeah.
That wasn't there. And just overall, the biggest concern, more so than being 3-6-1, you know, you would think that would be the biggest concern. It's that their franchise quarterback just continues to regress. So I know that's a long preamble, but this was a bad outcome. As I wrote, it's no injustice to lose to the Browns. Like the Browns are a good team. They were favored to win.
The Browns. That's partially true, I think. The way that this game played out, the way the defense was playing, I think it is like they did do a bad job. They should have been able to win this game. You know, as much as they were containing the Browns offense and stopping Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt for most of this game, you know, if they play a very boilerplate offensive game, they win, I think. But you talked about it, the Carson Wentz thing. Carson Wentz in this game, you know, this is a 0-0 game. Now, you know, not Carson Wentz's fault that Miles Sanders fumbles the ball inside the 5-yard line on the Eagles' opening drive. They could have gone up 7-0, but it's a 0-0 game. Carson Wentz is blitzed on the right side. Richard Rodgers doesn't pick it up, but he should still see the blitz coming. He has Jalen Reagor open on a little bit of a fake wheel, and he doesn't pull the trigger. And instead, he gets hit as he throws and throws a pick six to Sione Takitaki, which is just an outstanding name. And it was really off from there. He had another interception late in the game on a sort of a very silly pass to Alshon Jeffrey, which was a good reminder that Alshon Jeffrey's still on the team and, you know, looks 85 years old, looks exactly like you would expect him to look coming off a Liz Frank injury. You know, Carson Wentz was pretty bad in this game. And after the game, the questions for Doug Peterson were, you know, is he still going to be your quarterback? And I know that this is what you wrote about, so let's dive right into it. What do you think is going to happen? How bad do you think Carson Wentz would have to be for him to get pulled?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't know how much worse. Like,
exactly.
He had four turnovers against the Cowboys, didn't get pulled. Today, they were just stagnant. You know, in their past two games, they are 2-for-21 on third downs. Right?
Yikes.
They were 2-of-12 today, and they were 0-for-9 last week. That's a reflection.
21, so you really nailed that. Good job.
Thank you.
It's late for you. I know it's tougher for you.
No, I've been writing, and frankly,
all cylinders.
I didn't expect to be doing a video pod tonight. I didn't shave this weekend.
Yeah,
I
wasn't prepared this came together at the last second. So
yeah, you threw it on me.
Or Marissa was able to pivot at the last second from Christmas pajamas to a sweatshirt.
Yeah, somebody said in the chat that I look like the Michelin man. In
That's not.
Are we gonna get a big?
Well, my sweatshirt is like puffy and like, you know. So I can see it, but I guess it was better than my Christmas PJs. So
well, you look like you look well protected for like a collision.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I had the Eagles offensive line blocking me, I would need that.
Well said. Good one. You know, we could have just done audio only. It would have been just fine. But
yeah, but well we, you know, people are up. It's about 9:45. If we waited for the audio, they wouldn't get it till closer to midnight. You know, we want people to have a chance to chat. And so, you know, let us know what you think in the chat. But I mean,
you have a drink you're showing off as well, too. We should
I have what?
And you have
yes.
Drink
well, I promised, too. I promised our dear friend Defop Lauren from Wild Farm Wines that the next time we had a nighttime pod video that I would have a little, I'd have a little Wild Farm Wines on the show. So I've got the 18 Syrah here, which I have not yet taken a sip of. I mean, I do have to finish writing tonight, but I'll take a little juice, you know, why not? So Zach, let's get back to this. You know, the Eagles have this very difficult stretch that started today with the Browns. Next up is the Seahawks on Monday night. Then you've got the Packers, the Saints, and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Four teams with a combined, I believe, 28-12 record. All of these teams are very good. I think there's every expectation that the Eagles are going to lose all four of these games. They're going to be 3-10-1.
They'll be underdogs in every game.
And so you would expect, you know, it's a tough sell maybe to say, okay, you throw Jalen Hurts into the mix now. But is there anything that you can see happening, barring injury, that would make the Eagles pull Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I would have to
it's
say
the,
yes.
It's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, so here's the thing. All right, so first off, we should tell our listeners, Doug Peterson said Carson Wentz is starting on Monday
without a doubt,
against
Carson
Seattle.
Carson Wentz is my quarterback. All right.
And he seemed like surprised at the suggestion of the question. You know, he went back and watched the press conference again, and he looked
X's
toward
nose,
his side.
Grinding the tape. Good job by you.
And he looked toward the PR guy like, are they really asking me this? And this was to the question, is he starting against Seattle? Not to your – so Bo let it off. We should point that out, because Bo did not get a question in on Friday. And they made sure that Bo was leading off playing center field tonight because
– got that prefer.
Yeah, shortstop. Got that first question in. And the question was, did you consider – benching Carson or replacing him with Jalen Hurts during the game? And Doug said it was like a one score game really throughout the game. And he mentioned the conditions. I don't know what that had to do with it, but
I think he was approaching it as if like the game was out of hand. Did you like, not in a replacing, try to win the game.
Okay.
Replacing,
so that's how
like
he was
you're putting
answering.
In your backups. I think cool. That's how he interpreted it, which my fault for asking it that way, that open-ended.
I understood your question. And then he answered the question about Monday night. And he said, yes, he's all right, you know. And then he was asked another question.
This is a very good question by Jimmy. This was the question that if someone had already asked the question, then I would have asked. I think it's the appropriate question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you, it's essentially, I don't have it verbatim here, but do you have the autonomy to make that decision, or do you have to check that with other people, namely, now they weren't named, but Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. And Doug did not answer that directly. But again, it is
as if, at least publicly, which is probably the right way for him to do it. You have to act this way until you actually pull the plug, but he is answering it as if there is no way on earth that Jalen Hurts could be better than Carson Wentz right
now. Yes, exactly. So that was the interesting thing about that answer is he said it would send the message to the team, to the locker room, that they're giving up on the season, which is frankly not anyone else's interpretation on it. Everyone else's interpretation, I think, is that you make that move to try to fix the season, right? Like that you're not doing that to plan for the future. You're doing that to try to salvage 2020.
You're doing it because you don't know. And right now, you know what you're getting in Carson Wentz, and it's really bad. And you don't know what you're going to get. Jalen Hurts could be worse, but he couldn't be much worse. And there's a chance he's better. And there's a chance that, you know, behind a broken offensive line, maybe Jalen Hurts gives you a little bit of extra juice. Maybe that adds a little bit of something to the offense.
So I probably, and just thinking about that, I really haven't invested enough thought into it. But if I was Doug Peterson,
I wrote the story about it.
No, in terms of what to do. I didn't say they should do this or they should do that. I would lean toward keeping Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback. I think Carson, when Carson's at his best, few people in the world can play quarterback as well as him. But he hasn't been at that level this year.
They've played 10 games, and he has been at his best in exactly zero of those games.
Agreed. And
what about when Jalen Hurts is at his best?
Well, I mean, we're...
I don't know. We don't know.
I'm not ready to move on from Carson Wentz yet. And I think that such a decision, you're opening the door for potentially moving on. I don't view this like...
I'm sorry, but you opened that door for potentially moving on when you drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. And that's what I think is, I tweeted this, but I think that is the bottom line here, is that if you don't think that Jalen Hurts is good enough right now to be better than what you're getting at quarterback from Carson Wentz, then he was not worth a second round pick. And maybe they're judging that he's not ready. And maybe it's more about it was a bad pick than it was that he should play right now. I think that's certainly possible. But when you draft a guy in the second round, and you and I were talking about the Howie Roseman quote that he said, I think speaking to WIP back in the spring after the draft, the ultimate responsibility is not to Carson Wentz, it's to the organization. And when you draft a guy, a backup quarterback in the second round, you are saying this guy is good enough to be able to start for us at some point if it needs to happen. And right now, the way that Carson Wentz is playing, if you are not being responsible to him, you're being responsible to the organization. It needs to happen.
I don't totally agree with you. I really don't, because I think you're overstating the investment in Jalen Hurts. I don't think a second round pick is the same as this isn't.
I think that's crazy then. I mean, you know, they weren't drafting him expecting that Carson Wentz was going to be this bad. Obviously, they were expecting him to be a backup quarterback, and they had a franchise quarterback.
Exactly. But
they were also drafting him to give the team optionality for any number of things that could happen. And whether they expected this or not, this is a thing that's happening. Carson Wentz has been one of, if not the worst quarterback in the league this season. That's the truth.
And no, so you're absolutely right.
They have an option. They have this option that they drafted. Like, maybe this isn't how they saw it playing out, but this is a break glass in case of emergency type situation. Now, obviously it is more complicated than I'm making it out to be, because, first of all, this is not a great time to be bringing him in. If you're going to make that move, you don't want to make it going up against these, you know, this very difficult run of four teams.
Probably but, Seattle's pass defense though would be the best matchup.
That's a fair point. And you know, you have to think about what it means for Carson Wentz's future.
Exactly.
He's basically guaranteed to be on this team through the 2021 season because of his contract structure. But I'm sorry, you know, if you thought that he could handle mentally drafting a quarterback in the second round, you have to think that he can also handle getting benched and maybe being able to come back from that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think you put it well there. Frankly, I wish we did this before I wrote, because I think that's a better way of writing it. What I wrote is that I think they were forthright in what they said after the draft, that they viewed Jalen Hurts as an insurance policy, that they didn't view Jalen Hurts as a threat to Carson Wentz when they made the pick. That being said, I don't think they could fathom that this would happen, like that Carson would play this poorly. And with the way right. Carson's playing, it needs to be a legitimate question. And what I wrote, and it's how I ended my column, which should be up by, you know, hopefully in like an hour or so, was maybe it's not the answer. Like maybe benching Carson's not the answer, but they don't have any other answers. Like we've seen that now through 10 games, they don't have any answers. And
right.
you hear you them know, after games. It's the same thing. They haven't done anything creative. They haven't done anything different. You know, it's not like there's this Jalen Hurts package that they've been waiting. It's not like there's
pathetically like, nothing in the package.
Yeah. This
one like, snap today.
Yeah. This defensive, like anything on defense, really the only two things they've had this year, that were kind of on it, that were different, were forced on them, which was Travis Fulgham coming out of nowhere and Jordan Mailata right. looking decent at left tackle. Otherwise, it's just been running into a wall trying to do the same thing.
Well,
over
and all, yeah, and all these different things you could talk yourselves into, like, you know, maybe we talked about last week, maybe when he doesn't turn the ball, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, we'll be in good shape. Well, last week they didn't turn the ball over and they still stunk. You know, maybe once you get everybody back on offense, things will hit the ground running. Well, you know, everybody but Zach Ertz is back. They're healthy on offense and they're still not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, man. And the other thing is I take issue with, and again, I'm not saying that I would make the decision, but I think they certainly have to consider it. And I take issue with Doug saying, if you went to Hurts, you would send the wrong message to the locker room, because I think you could argue that you're sending the wrong message to the locker room now that, maybe, you know, every position on the team is not a meritocracy, because if there was any other position where a guy was playing this poorly and you had a backup, you would be moving on. And it wouldn't be like, oh, how's this guy going to respond to getting drafted? Like, you know, how do you think to getting benched rather, how do you think the defense feels in this, after this game, when they have a pretty good game? The only touchdown the Eagles score is off of a turnover they force. You know, they're out there busting their balls and the offense can't do anything.
A little late night. I hear you there. I mean, I'm sure
that there, we've said this before, but I'm sure there are players in the locker room who are thinking to themselves, put Jalen Hurts in.
Yeah. And I was talking to someone earlier who said, like, if this wasn't context dependent, like if this was your high school football team,
exactly,
Jalen Hurts would be in. Like if you just looked at the way the starter's playing, you would make
this was
change.
St. Joe's prep, you know, Stefanski would be benched for Joe Judge.
That's true. Yeah. So,
well,
I guess
not, because Joe Judge transferred when he lost the job. So
yeah,
whoever replaced him as the back.
And Stefanski was a real good quarterback at St. Joe's prep. But that being said, like, look, I can understand if you went to that route. I just think that context matters. Excuse me. I need to take a drink of water here. I apologize.
If you want some advice from our listener, Jason, he says weed and ice cream helps.
Okay. No, context matters. I think Carson's built equity with this team. And he's the franchise quarterback. Like, what's so funny? What?
Carson Wentz has as many turnovers as Zach had turkeys entering the week.
That is true. That is true. And I think that's a decision that has ramifications. So I don't know if I would go that route yet. I would go that route because we've talked about this with Shiel. If you make that decision, you need to be willing not to turn back.
Yeah, but you also need to be willing to turn back, I think, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what Kevin Cobb was back in 2008, right. Yeah.
So do you think we've talked about, do you think they will do it? And would you do it? Do you think they are considering it? Do you think it's a discussion?
Not for this week.
Okay. No. But do you think it's a discussion between Doug and or Jeffrey and or Howie?
If it's not, then they are they're not doing their jobs well. If it's not, like, if you're not having that conversation, then it is irresponsible to the organization, in my opinion.
What did you make of a long time before Doug had his post-game press conference after this game? Usually it's much quicker. What did you make of that?
So there's one of two things. Either Doug was spending a long time talking to his locker room, or before Doug speaks to us, at least in past years, I don't know what it's like in the pandemic and we're not there,
unfortunately,
in the locker room, but Doug speaks with Jeffrey Lurie. So maybe that conversation was going on for a long time. I don't know, but I don't think like Doug was just hanging out in his office preparing for that press conference because, I think there are some things there that he just didn't, he wasn't replaying the game in his mind.
Yeah, that was tough. That question about the not taking a timeout after the Josh Sweat sack late in the second quarter, which we can get to because it was, an example of Doug not having any faith in the offense. But he was not fully prepared.
Doug's not Sean McVay. He can't tell you every play that happened 10 years ago, much less, a few hours ago.
Some shots of my hairline in the chat, I see.
What's the chat saying? You see, when
says my hairline is disappearing fast since my Eagles sight days. That was like 8 years ago.
Nah, I think you look good. Number one. Number two. I never know if you're laughing at what I'm saying or if you're laughing at what someone's writing here.
Well, you can see which way I'm looking. If I'm looking to the right and I'm laughing, you can assume it's
yeah. But you can be listening to.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
By the way, for the sickos among you, exciting news that our merchandise website has been updated with the new t-shirt that was discussed on the last pod. We have the recreation of the, it turns out it was a text, not an email, to my wife, Rachel, which is all the more bizarre if you read it and see all the exclamation points, but you can buy that bad boy on our TeePublic store. A few hours left, I think, for the discount.
A fan of The Office?
I mean, I'm not a Kirk Cousins level fan, but I've seen all the episodes,
Well, the pyramid scheme opening is one of my favorite openings.
Okay.
And I thought that was I thought that email was a play off the pyramid scheme thing, but I could be wrong.
I don't think, I do not think there was self-awareness.
You think it was sincere? Okay.
Yeah, was, I promise you that it was sincere.
Okay.
Or at least copy-pasted as a sincere. Okay. Anything else to talk about at the quarterback position? I mean, what did you make of his game today?
So it's interesting. I was talking to Marissa about this when you're getting your red wine.
That's a good, the Browns have a guy named Red Wine, Sheldrick Red Wine.
True. So
it's on brand. I'm just making reference to Sheldrick.
I liked him coming out. Yeah, I thought Carson started the game off well. A matter of fact, like I had a tweet prepared, like this is as well as Carson's played in weeks. That he had a pass early in the game to Goddard that was had a nice touch on it.
Right before the pick six, I'm thinking, oh, we're getting good Carson this game.
Yeah, and then then the pick six, and everything seemed to go downhill from there. Now, I think that there are factors here you need to consider. Again, I don't want to come off as a Carson apologist because he's not playing well, and whatever criticism is being levied against him is merited. But I think that his protection was bad today.
Boy, right? Did Jason Peters look awful.
Yeah. And I thought
he's always had trouble with Olivier Vernon.
Okay, pulling back the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking Dolphins, and I was like, yeah. No, that's he was bad. Cooked. He was bad. Should tell, in case our listeners did not listen to the post-game press conference, Jason Peters was not on the field at the end of the game because of an injury. He wasn't benched or pulled or anything like that.
He left with an injury. Lane Johnson left with an injury. Jack Shoulder Driscoll left with an injury. Kelsey left and returned. So, you know, again, the walking wounded here.
But yeah, so I thought the protection was not good. And I thought the play calling, again, was just unimaginative.
Well, what did you make of the run pass split? And I know like this is such a classic thing, but that opening drive for the Eagles, they run down the field. I think it was 9 runs on 10 plays, gets them 70 plus yards into to the 5-yard line when Miles Sanders fumbles. I think Miles Sanders had 14 carries in the first half and 2 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, the game flow changed. You're chasing the score a little bit, but you know, should they have ran the ball more?
Well, it was working early in the game, and I think they could have gotten into some more manageable third downs. I don't want to be like the run the ball guy because I tend to believe passing is the better route. But I think the running game was working, and I probably would have gone with that more. Again, there were certain game situation things, but I thought too, like I don't want to change the subject, so I'm curious your opinion on the running game, and then I'll say what I was about to say.
Go ahead. I'm responding to a text about the
a week old text.
No, about the 3-week old. About Jane. Yeah.
I thought that you know the penalties, even though they didn't have a lot of them, were costly. Again, they had so after they went down, what was it? They went down 2 scores in the fourth quarter, and they need to score. All right. First down play. They get a 14-yard gain to Richard Rodgers, negated by an illegal formation or illegal procedure.
Illegal formation, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pushes them back 5 yards, first and 15. They don't gain a yard thereafter. It's not just that they're a bad football team. Like, they're a sloppy football team.
They spent all week talking about, we're going to fix these things in practice.
Exactly.
They had like 4 pre-snap penalties on defense, plus that one you just talked about on offense. They're bad at everything. The roster construction's terrible. They're very poorly coached, and the players on the field, without like beyond coaching, are doing a bad job. Bad at every level. They're bad on defense. They're bad on offense. They're bad against the pass. They're bad against the run. I mean,
and the same issues as last week. Two, like Greg Ward lets a punt go over his head. Right.
Special teams is awful.
Yeah. Greg Ward except for the blocked field goal. That was a big one.
Yeah. Okay.
But Greg Ward lets a punt go over his head. It gets downed inside the 5, and there's a safety like 2 plays later or 3 plays later.
Terrible. And a big super forecasting win point for Sheila on that.
There were a lot inside the 5.
That's true.
Yeah. Only we'll one point that. He gets, though.
So. Only one point he gets. Yes, exactly. And we'll get to that scoreboard shortly. But there's nothing they can hang their hat on. They're not good at anything.
I thought the defense, I thought the defense played tough up until Nick Chubb. I know you can't take out. I don't want to sound like Jim Schwartz here.
Yeah, I mean, poor Nick Joe Chubb, Osman, huh?
Yeah, Nick Chubb gets that 50-plus yard run.
He's completely posterized.
Like, yeah, they were bottling up throughout most of the game. Nick Chubb's a really good running back.
We're outstanding against the run, against the running backs. You know, an important distinction.
I thought the a drive like an underrated drive that hurt them. The Browns didn't score, but that 94-yard drive in the first half after
they had pinned the Browns back,
exactly. So the Browns didn't score. The Eagles stopped them on the fourth down, but like they just let the Browns go all the way downfield there. That was a bad drive, and the deep ball was a problem in
the secondary. Is terrible. It's terrible.
The longest pass allowed came today. Avante Maddox
has been really bad,
and they talked themselves into that.
Jalen Mills has been really bad.
Like, this is one of those things too where where sometimes we're like, well, they need to know more than we do, right? Like you know, but
right. Well, yeah, we say they must, this is they their must job. Know more than we do. Yes,
exactly. They don't.
No. So, I mean, well, you know, they do, but they it doesn't do, necessarily yeah. manifest itself into yeah. us being wrong.
Like, but no, I think the flip side is they talk themselves into things too. Like they convince themselves on the Avante Maddox thing. There was no evidence.
I mean, we were yelling
during Avante Maddox's like, 2 years. Here, where like his best position was on the outside.
Of course not.
They talked themselves into that. And
Jalen Mills at safety, and he's been bad.
Yes, they talked themselves into that. Those were the hiccups on defense. But look, you hold the Browns to 13 points, which is what the defense did. You should win the game.
That's a good callback to the email I once got from Sean McDermott, which I think our loyal listeners might remember.
What is the email? Can you tell me?
I think I've told this story before. It was after a late season Eagles game, and I wrote on the website, you know, da 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 da, like, you know, the Eagles gave up however many points, and got an email from Sean McDermott that said, well, you know, the defense didn't give up all those points because there had been a turnover, a pick six or whatever. So, you know, that tells you how closely he was reading the website.
Of course, he's just a big fan of your work.
That's true.
Big fan of your work.
You know what I was thinking? Like this, what a dour game. And like, you know, Eagles fans, obviously, what a terrible season it's been. Like to watch this game. Imagine going to that game, especially if you were like not a family member or friend. What a horrible experience that would have been.
I think
sitting in the pouring rain watching this bad football team.
I disagree. First off, if you're supporting family or friend like that, I that said must
other
be
than,
awesome.
Other than that, I said.
Oh, well, other than that, well, no, I think being at a game. Well, I mean, your health and the health of those around you is the most important thing right now, obviously. But if you can do it healthy, in a healthy way. I miss being at games right now. I'll tell you that. Like I miss,
so
I yearn.
I've got, you know, fatigue from covering games on TV for sure.
I yearn for this time next year when we could be sitting next to each other in a press box watching a game.
I don't know if I've ever earnestly used yearn. Good for you. I think I've probably written it before. I don't know if I've ever used it myself in conversation. So I give you a, you know, a tip of the cap.
And yeah, this is like our, you know, we don't get to go to Cleveland that often. This could have been a chance to go to Cleveland, which I always like going to Cleveland.
I have a friend in Cleveland that I would have been nice to see.
But yeah, obviously being outside in the rain must've been tough.
Yeah. I agree.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army Knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Couple comments
Excuse
worth
me,
a mention.
I need some water here.
Applied Science says... that's actually Zach's wallpaper throughout his home. It's not a backdrop. If you're not watching, he's got the Athletic Zoom background. I could see that.
Zach's background looks good. It's way better than my background.
Very sharp. Yeah.
I'm going to need him to help me do that.
Ryan Reed says Marissa is drinking out of a KitchenAid stand mixer bowl. Cause we know she likes those big mugs. Let's see. There was one other one that was good. Lots of comments about me flexing, which is, you know, fair. Okay, I can't find the other ones. You know, because I have this Raiders game on, it reminds me. It's not an original thing to say that, like, you know, nobody can, like, say anything meaner about the Eagles or Eagles fans than Eagles fans can say about themselves. Like, you know, nobody hates the Eagles more than Eagles fans. But the idea that, like, Nelson Aguilar having a good season for the Raiders mm-hmm. is somehow going to make Eagles fans mad is so, like, no one's hoping they still had Nelson Aguilar. Like, if he was on this Eagles team, he would have, like, you know, 10 catches for 45 yards and no touchdowns.
Yeah, he needed to change the scenery.
Yeah, good for him for going out there. But it's not like, oh, look, the Eagles did a bad job letting him go. No, he was not. He would be bad if he was here.
I'm not surprised that he's playing well, though, because I always thought he had talent.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And I don't even think anybody's, like, you know, angry at him. I think Eagles fans are probably like, oh, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Wish he was back on the team.
And this probably team should be getting paid more for what he's doing, but that's besides the point.
Okay. Marissa, what did you think of the game? Did you get a chance to watch?
I did.
Just here and there? Because you do the Browns podcast too.
Yeah, and we actually did that earlier tonight.
What did they have to
say? Very different tone on their podcast.
I'm curious, what's the view from the other side? What did they say?
They're talking playoffs.
Playoffs,
yeah. I mean, the AFC is going to be interesting down the stretch.
I was surprised that
the Browns need the Raiders to lose tonight.
On the outside looking in, yeah.
Yeah, they need the Raiders. The Dolphins... Did the Dolphins win? No, the Dolphins lost. The Broncos beat the Dolphins, so that was good for the Browns. But the Colts pulled out that last second win over the Packers. So that AFC race is going to get real interesting down the stretch. But the Browns play the Jets, the Giants, so they got a pretty easy schedule, so we'll see. But yeah, they're talking playoffs in Cleveland.
Now, did they think that this was like an impressive performance from the Browns?
I mean, there's a lot of Baker talk as per usual. Okay. You know, still
he had a couple nice throws in this game. He also missed a wide open guy in the end zone a couple times.
I mean, they were very impressed with the defense. There's been a lot. I mean, no Myles Garrett, and that defense really stepped up. That was a big mood going into the weekend.
Consider the competition.
But the fact that without Myles Garrett, they were able to do what they did.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
That was the big mood on their podcast.
I would say my read of that would be, I mean, of course it would be, but my read of that would be much more a function of the Eagles playing poorly than the Browns playing particularly well. Although Denzel Ward, I thought, was good.
Yeah. Sione Takitaki, like you said, the best name ever.
Fantastic name.
Yeah.
You know, Zach, the Eagles didn't throw the ball a ton in the first half, but zero targets for Travis Fulgham. I mean, guy was the best player on the team for 4 weeks. Can we try to get him the ball? Like, why are we manufacturing these touches for Greg Ward instead of Travis Fulgham and Jalen Reagor?
I agree with you. And Travis is, I don't think it's cause and effect, but his production has declined since Alshon Jeffrey got back in the lineup. Right?
Precipitously. Now, he played like 6 or 7 snaps in this game. I was tracking the snaps, or at least trying to off TV copy. So the idea that he was going to play more, that Doug said, was not true. But, you know, when he was out there, boy, did he look feeble.
Now, I saw on your tweet, you thought Travis Fulgham got interfered with in the end zone.
Yes.
You thought that was PI.
I did. The interception that was then overturned, great camera angle. Yes, I thought he was there early. And listen, I'm talking, you know, all kinds of smack about the way that Carson's playing. I did not think that was a bad decision on that play.
No, I agree.
And people were saying it was quadruple coverage. It was not. I mean, it was single coverage. And because the ball was up there so long after it got deflected, it was then there to be intercepted. But, you know, third down, you're in field goal range. You give your best player on offense probably a chance at a 50-50 ball. I thought it was a fine decision. And yeah, there's a chance you get PI, which, you know, they very well may have deserved.
Yeah, I thought there were really two calls or two non-calls that had big effects in this game.
That's true.
If that's PI, you have first and goal at the 1 yard line, and maybe you get 7 there instead of 3. And then the other thing was the forward progress call.
That was tough.
That was a really big play
in the game.
They forced a fumble, you know?
They forced a fumble. I don't like the forward progress call. It didn't look to me like he had been stood up for very long. I thought that that was a bad call. What did you think?
I agree. And it's unfortunate. That's one of those things that's unfortunate, that because it can't be reviewed. It's one thing if there's like a call that can be reviewed, but that just can't be reviewed.
Yeah, that was tough. We have talked and lamented for a while the disappearance of aggressive Doug, and you know whether or not that is like him believing less in analytics or whatever. I think he told you what he felt about the offense in this game several times. Two punts on fourth and less than five, I believe, from Brown's territory, and then at the end of the first half, after Jason Kelce goes down and he brings in Luke Jurega, or they have to bring in Luke Jurega, the Browns get sacked on second down. It's a third and 14 upcoming with about like 1:40 left. Eagles have.
We should say who got the sack.
Josh Sweat.
Yes.
And Doug does not take timeout. And he said after the game he didn't really remember the sequence, which is a nice.
He said there was probably a reason for it.
Yeah. And he said he thought they wanted to keep them on offense, which you know would have been the wrong decision because you also had one left and there's more time. So you know he told you all you needed to know. And then there's a play on like later in the second half, third and seven, they do a zone read. And, yes. You know, then there's like a second and 13 where they're doing a Carson Wentz QB draw. Like, I think all you need to know about how Doug feels about the offense is the kinds of decisions he's making in these games. He has absolutely no faith in the offense.
Which is like him. And especially today, because Press Taylor wasn't offense. There. Yeah. Like he's the guy today. Right. So he's the guy working with Carson. Mm-hmm. It was bad. Yeah, like there's no excuse for this offense, and I try not to walk away. I try to be level headed in my analysis, like not be overreactive, but there's no rationalization for the way they're playing right now. It's bad, and you know I thought that when Carson, so this is getting back to Carson potentially being benched. He was asked about it after the game and he's like, you know, the media can ask or do whatever they want. I just want to be clear. Like this isn't a media manufactured storyline. Sometimes you see that with quarterback controversies. Like this was brought on by three things: A, the way Carson's playing, B, the way the team's playing, and C, the fact that they drafted a quarterback in the second round. Yeah. Right. Like that. If Nate Sudfeld,
easy confluence of events. Yeah.
Yes. If Nate Sudfeld was the backup, if they just went into this year with Nate Sudfeld and let's say they took James Morgan in the fourth round, let's say, like no one's going to be saying bench Carson for Nate Sudfeld.
Well, but I also think the flip side to that is if it was just Nate Sudfeld as the backup quarterback, I think there is a better chance that Carson Wentz would have been pulled in one of these games in favor of Nate Sudfeld. Because it wouldn't have created such a firestorm. They would be sending the message to Carson that he's not being good enough without creating such a firestorm.
Then maybe they need to have Sudfeld active one day and do that, right?
Maybe.
Wait, could you imagine if all three were active and they went to Sudfeld over Hurts?
I could imagine that.
Yes.
I mean, they're not like it's the same thing like the relationship between how badly Carson Wentz is playing and their willingness to put Jalen Hurts onto the field on, you know, those situations, not as a replacement quarterback, but just as a mix up on offense.
Yeah. Are you surprised we're not seeing more of Hurts?
I think it tells you that they're scared of this, of creating more of this discussion.
Interesting. So you think it's
I mean, their... they've exhausted their creativity with those plays. I mean,
they don't have a lot of plays.
Let him throw the ball, please. Like, you know, he doesn't have to know the entire offense for him to have a couple plays where he can throw the ball.
But it's funny, all these things that Doug is asked about, like the Hurts thing, rolling Carson out. They don't do any of it. It's like
They don't do anything interesting. The routes don't complement each other. It's like you line up here, you line up there, and just beat the guy across from you.
He does the same thing every
single
week.
They don't have that kind of talent.
And they say all the time like how how many hours they put in and how hard they practice. Like, I don't see anything on a week-to-week basis that's different from the week before. They make the same mistakes. They play the same players. They call the same plays. And they have the same problems.
Yeah.
So
I think that's right.
What did you make of the safety? We haven't really talked about the safety. I thought that was just a brutal play in the game. Is that all on Jason Peters? Because I bring this up. Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson put that on Carson.
I think it's on both of them. I mean, Peters got just dusted on that play.
And he had help on the play, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's on both of them. I mean, Carson probably needs to get the ball out. But you also know the quarterback you have. You called that play.
I just think, like, there's one thing you can't do in that situation. Well, I guess two things. You can't turn the ball over.
Right.
But like, you can't take a sack in the end zone.
That's true. And I think it's on Carson, but it's also on Peters. Like, you got to do better than that.
Yeah. Who's the best tackle next week?
Who is it, or who should it be?
Who is it?
It's Peters.
Yeah.
What do you make of the Nate Herbig situation? Because this is insane. He was inactive for this game. He was not listed on the injury report at any time this week. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard last week he had this finger injury. So either, you know, they're not following the rules by, you know, not listing him on the injury report, or he's benched, not only benched, but benched to the inactive list when they could have used him as the backup center today because Kelsey gets hurt.
Yeah, something's weird there.
Something very weird.
Could be. Yeah.
I think that's if nobody else asks, I'll try to ask Doug that tomorrow, but it's very bizarre.
Yeah. It's one of these things too.
It's one or the other, either he's benched or they're breaking the rules.
In the Zoom media setup, everyone gets one question. So like, you have to make yours count sometimes. And
right. Yeah. I'm not going to issue. Did you consider a quarterback change for what's the deal with Nate Herbig to start off the postgame press conference? But very bizarre. Let me update you, because I know you are on the edge of your seat, Zach, and all of our listeners and watchers, about what happened with Swooper Sorecasting this week. Now, of course, Zach entered with his mountain of turkeys, and he didn't use all of them. He ended up with only four irons in the fire, but he does have 26 turkeys next week. His four predictions for this game: combined rushing attempts for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt will be more than Carson Wentz pass attempts. This was very close for you,
very
Zach.
Close.
33 combined attempts for the running backs, but 35 passing attempts for Carson Wentz. So the end of the game put
That's
this
garbage
over.
Garbage stats, yeah.
No turkey for you there. There is at least one special teams trick play in the game, a fake field goal / punt or a surprise onside kick. Unfortunately, that did not happen for you. Miles Sanders has either a receiving touchdown or a reception of 30+.
Oh, so close.
Unfortunately, that did not happen for you either. And a non-running back on the Browns has a run of at least 10 yards, the longest run for a non-running back in this game, a 7-yard scamper for Baker Mayfield. So Zach goes over this week.
Poor allocation of turkeys.
You got your 26 for next week. I had only three irons in the fire this week. Jalen Reagor will have his best game of the season by receiving yards. He had 53 receiving yards in this game. Sorry, 52. And he had 55 in week one. So I came just short there. Andrew Sendejo will knock either a teammate or opposing player out of the game. Doesn't have to be completely out of the game. The player can return. This did not happen. I feel like philosophically the penalty he committed where he just ran into a guy for pass interference is sort of along the same lines, but I will not take it. It was a very funny moment. I thought the third funniest moment of the game. So nothing for me there. And then Miles Sanders' catch percentage is at least 60%. 5 targets for Miles Sanders, 3 catches, precisely 60%.
Hit that on the money.
Hit that one. So I take the lead with 1. Shield, though, had 5 opportunities. Browns tight ends score at least 2 touchdowns. Did not happen. The Eagles begin a possession on or inside their own 5-yard line. Happened multiple times. So a point for Shield. He ties the lead. Jalen Reagor is the Eagles' leading receiver. did not happen. The leading receiver for the Eagles, Dallas Goedert, 5 catches for 77 yards. Browns running backs will run for 150 yards or more. Did not happen. They had 125 yards. And his last one, Dallas Goedert has over 50 yards receiving or a touchdown. He gets that. So Sheil is our week 11 winner of Swooper Scorecasting. I believe the season leaderboard, Sheil has 2 victories and I have 2 victories. Zach, you still got your turkeys though.
I do. And I have more weeks remaining.
You certainly do. There was something that I was just going to talk about, but I have forgotten. Can we just quickly talk a little bit more about the Eagles secondary? Because, you know, you're going up in this game against Jarvis Landry, Kadarius Hodge, and Rashard Higgins, and they're still somehow finding a way to torch him. You know, you talked about this was not a surprise to us, but maybe it was a surprise to them. But the way Avante Maddox and Jalen Mills are playing, pretty ugly.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they made their bed at that spot. I don't necessarily like they had options. You know, they had they cut Rasul Douglas, they cut Sidney Jones. All right, and you can roll your eyes about what I say about Sidney Jones, and you can say Rasul Douglas exhausted whatever he was here. I think that Douglas showed borderline he was a solid replacement level player. Okay. And they could use that right now. Yeah. And Sidney Jones still had potential and he was under contract. I would rather have Alshon Jeffrey on IR and Sidney Jones on the roster and see if you get anything from Sidney in those first.
Well, I'd rather have Rasul, but at the same point.
Yeah. Rasul. Yeah. So they created this situation in their secondary. I didn't mind the move of Mills over to safety, but I viewed like, all right, well, you have Will Parks as an insurance policy. They don't use Will Parks at all, right? So,
yeah, I mean, he played a little bit in this game. We saw a bunch of different packages for the defense in this game. We saw some 4 linebacker packages. Davion Taylor played, and boy, did he, not look like he knew what he was doing out there.
He started
in the 4 linebacker lineup. Strap was the primary nickel. They also played a bunch of dime on third down with 4 corners, not with Parks on the field. Jalen Mills was playing on the outside at some point. I think that was really more of just a formation thing. There were some plays where the Browns only had 1 wide receiver on the field. Kayvon Wallace got in the mix here. They played a bunch of guys. I'm not so sure it mattered, but at least they're playing young guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Davion Taylor is, I would say, probably not going to be a good player.
It's too early for that. But your second round pick, your second round pick, and your third round pick aren't giving you anything. And your first round pick, like every time you turn on the TV, there is another wide receiver making a play, another rookie wide receiver making a play.
I know.
Like I was.
No, he made a nice catch on that. Sure. On that contested ball in the fourth quarter, but he's not stretching the defense.
No.
This whole thing, like this fit, yeah. The fit's not there.
So there was a sequence. I had Red Zone on and I'm writing and like, I see there was like a Michael Pittman play. And then there was like a Justin Jefferson play. There's like a Denzel Mims play. A CeeDee Lamb play, like all within a few minutes of each other. Jalen Reagor's he's been fine, right? But he hasn't been a difference maker at that position so far. And it's still early, but the Eagles are getting nothing from their draft right now. And it was a critical draft. Or I shouldn't say nothing. They're not getting enough from their draft. And it was a critical draft for them.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm just checking out the comments. You know, it's hard to juggle all these things, as you guys well know. Okay. So here's the other thing I wanted to talk about, Zach. The biggest...
An hour into it. This is the other thing.
This is the last thing. We can close with this. The biggest swing in the NFC East projections today, I think, was not the Cowboys winning, nor the Washington football team winning. It was the season-ending injury for Joe Burrow, because the Bengals played Washington today, and they still have both Dallas and the Giants
left to play. That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
So those games go from now potential or likely losses for those NFC East teams to should be wins, I think, with Ryan Finley at quarterback.
You don't view Ryan Finley in the same vein as Jalen Hurts?
I do not.
Okay.
And, you know, as we talked about, there's a very good chance, I think, that the Eagles are going to be 3-10-1. Do you believe they are still favorites for the division? Water gun to your kneecap. Who wins the NFC East?
The Eagles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I feel I would be shocked if the Eagles won the division.
You'd be shocked.
I would be shocked.
Like statistically, they probably still have the best odds.
I don't believe so.
They don't? Okay.
I'm guessing that they no longer have the best odds. I don't know that. Let's see if I can pull it up on our sponsor, DraftKings. I think those other teams are going to get to six. One of those teams is going to get to six wins.
And you think the Eagles be 5-10-1?
I don't think they're going to win any of these next four games.
Yeah, look, I mean, I certainly would not bet on it. This isn't, I'm not saying that based on the Eagles. I'm saying that based on the other teams.
I think the Cowboys with Andy Dalton,
if I had to pick one of them,
are a better team.
You know what? I would probably say Washington would be my pick.
I think the Eagles might be the worst team in the division.
Yeah, like I would really need to study those other three teams right now. Based on what we've seen, when we saw the Cowboys, they were bad, but they had Ben DiNucci. Yeah, I'd probably take back my Eagles pick. I take back my Eagles pick.
The Eagles are right now, I don't know if this has been updated, but according to DraftKings, they are still the favorite.
Okay.
They're plus 140. The Cowboys and Giants are both plus 300, and Washington plus 450.
Yeah, that Washington bet would intrigue me. If I had to bet on one of them, I would go plus 450. I like those odds. Yes.
Well, let me pull it up. We're not going anywhere. Yeah. Let me pull up the remaining schedules. Okay.
You see, this is the problem, by the way, with when you do these live, like if you do these live pods. In some other shows you do, they give you a rundown and you can like think about something before you're asked about it. Here
we do that sometimes for the weekly shows, but for the post game pod's about reaction.
Into the pod.
It's about pure uncut reaction.
I've been working 13 hours.
Flex.
Flex. I probably take that back. I would not say the Eagles, but I tend to trust the numbers.
By the way, what other shows are we talking about here? Yeah, you trying to throw us on, you said these. You go on some of these shows. Like what other show? What are these other shows?
You go on a radio show.
Don't make me jealous.
They give you a rundown. They say, this is what we're going to ask you.
I don't get a rundown for when I go on a radio show.
You, if you go on TV, this is what they're going to ask you. Yeah.
Oh, TV flex.
Yeah. TV flex.
I don't feel like, I feel like you don't get that much heads up. You're just expected to know what you know.
Yeah. No, but that's a question I should have had a better answer for. And I apologize that I
please don't apologize.
I would not pick the Eagles right now based on the schedule remaining ahead of them.
Okay. Well, I'll give it to you. Okay. The Eagles have Seattle, Green Bay, the Saints, the Cardinals, the Cowboys, and the football team. Okay.
Yeah. I think they beat, I think they beat Dallas and Washington. So I think they get 5-10-1.
Washington has Dallas this week. Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, at San Francisco, versus Seattle, versus the Panthers, versus the Eagles. Two to three wins there, maybe. So they're not getting, you know, they could get to 5 or 6. Dallas with Andy Dalton. Washington at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, versus San Francisco, versus the Eagles at the Giants. I think that's more wins than the Eagles, I think. And the G-men have at Cincinnati this week, at Seattle, versus Arizona, versus Cleveland, at Baltimore, versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think this is a good topic for the midweek podcast.
I think, you know, I might be taking the G-men.
Yeah, this is probably a good topic for the midweek podcast. I will take a look at it and really think about it and have an informed answer for you.
Okay. Marissa, who you got? Sorry about your Titans. Another just brutal win.
Overtime. It's getting hashtag really Marissa's close. Titans. What was that? 7?
Was that 7?
It might have been 8. If it's 8, then
no,
I'm really...
they're not at 8 yet because they had lost a couple games. No, that's 6. That was just 6.
No, really? No way. That was 7.
That was 7.
Yeah.
7-3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, their schedule could be, I mean, their record could be totally different than, like, they've pulled out so many last second games.
Yeah. They have a 2-point win, a 3-point win, a 1-point win, overtime, 2 overtime wins, and, you know, 1 other touchdown win. So, yeah, they've been very lucky with close games.
Yeah. So,
who do you got to win the NFC East, though?
I don't know. I mean, we've talked a lot about Joe Judge on this podcast. I don't know, but they, you know, going into the bye, they had all that drama with their offensive line coach.
Oh, that's true. We didn't get to talk about that, Zach.
Yeah.
Which definitely happened.
Zach is, let's like, save that is for this 10:55. Week.
Mark Colombo just uppercutting Joe Judge.
Yeah. So I don't know. I kind of think maybe the Giants. I don't know. I think it will make the Thanksgiving game, the Cowboys and Washington game, kind of interesting to watch. There's something at stake, I guess.
How would you guys rank the 4 starting quarterbacks in the division? Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz.
Who would I rather have for the rest of their careers, or who would I rather have winning this a game season. Next week?
Next week.
Next week? Mm-hmm.
Just the quarterback?
Yeah.
Just do I have a good defense?
Yeah. Whose offensive line are you getting?
That's a good question.
Just for the Eagles.
I didn't mean to extend.
You're
the
putting them. You're putting them in. Yeah, you're putting them into the Eagles.
Yeah. I was simply saying. I was trying to make a point that in the past.
You did this to yourself.
Yeah. Seriously.
I would go. Daniel Jones 1, Alex Smith 2.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz 3, Andy Dalton 4.
Really? No love for Andy Dalton there?
Yeah, I think he stinks.
They beat the Vikings tonight. I mean,
I mean he's certainly, you know, he's an upgrade from Danucci, unfortunately. But what do you got, Zach? You don't even want to. You just want to go to sleep. Do you mind if you go to sleep and we leave the YouTube on? Marissa and I will just chop it up.
Oh yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine.
But you have to you have to let us see you sleep.
Oh no, that would be weird. That would be weird. My wife would be pretty spooked out about that.
Come on,
I'm not going to sleep after this though.
Yeah, what if we do a Patreon? Can that?
I got to go through, read my story, wrap up my notes, and have some good ideas for this week, actually. So I got to pry. I got to do some last minute prep.
You have to get some good ideas, or you have good ideas?
No, I have. I have some good ideas.
These are some good ideas. The quarterback conversation. These are all sparking ideas.
I'll close. I've already said we're going to close like 8 times already, but I will tell you that thing that I wrote about at the top of the day after is that I do think that there's a bit of a sadness to the way that this has gone for the Eagles, for Eagles fans beyond just the outrage. Like, you know, you're watching Jason Kelce play through this like brutal injury to come back just for this awful team. You know, you're watching Jason Peters be a shell of himself. So like the price of the sentimentality of bringing all these guys back is that not only are you bad and you have an aging expensive roster, but you have to watch these franchise icons deteriorate in front of your eyes.
Yeah. The Jason Kelce injury, you saw it, like just a tough, tough guy. Did not want to go into the locker room. Did not want to go in the blue tent and came back out and played.
It's looked like he said stupid MFers when they showed him. And I don't know, I don't know what he was talking about, but probably just echoing exactly what Eagles fans everywhere were thinking. And on that note, it looks like Zach is about to be beamed up to whatever higher being is above him. So let him go. And Marissa and I will just keep talking.
Look, I promise you, I will bring the juice on. Are we doing it Friday? On the Friday day after Thanksgiving? Yeah, I will bring the juice.
I think we'll
Friday.
Talk about it. We may skip the Wednesday this week and just go straight to a supersized Friday review / preview. We'll see.
It's interesting. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
A Black Friday podcast.
Yeah, we should. I think there'll be some good deals on our TeePublic site if you want those new t-shirts.
And
I saw people buying.
And by the way, Bo, there's going to be some great deals on The Athletic, the place that we work for.
I don't want to give that away. What if people want to subscribe over the next 4 days? You don't want to take away. We couldn't be getting increased revenue. Don't tease that yet. What are you doing? You're giving away money. Subscribe now. Pay the full price. Don't wait for the good Black Friday deal. What are you doing? I was going to say on the TeePublic site, you can also buy all of the designs. You can do other things besides t-shirts. And I've been seeing a lot of masks, Birds with Friends listeners buying BWF masks. So just a possibility that's out there for you. Okay. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We may be back on Wednesday. We may be back on Friday. And if we don't talk to you till Friday, happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you are being very safe, because the world is about to get even worse. It's going to get completely on fire. So it's true. It's going to be an absolute disaster.
You're supposed to end a show with something like positive, you know, like on the news, they always do like the heartfelt like puppy story.
Yes. And I hope that you guys stay safe, you know. The world is not positive right now. I mean,
we appreciate everyone who's been watching this YouTube, the live video. We will be better the next time we do it. And there's going to be some good stuff on The Athletic.
Very debatable. Speak for yourself.
On The Athletic this week. And a big game for the Eagles next Monday. And for comprehensive coverage, go to theathletic.com.
All right. So for Sheila, wherever he is, and Zach and Marissa, I'm Bo. And as always, we love you.